something magical happened yesterday. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but did you ever get a magic 90 minutes of free time that you weren't expecting? It's exactly what went down. I got a text from my daughter's school that all after-school activities had been canceled for the day. Mm. And usually I spend my day running from one activity to another, picking them up, dropping them off, all that.
Yeah.
So what that meant was I had 90 extra minutes that I could do anything I wanted. And I almost lost my mind because I wasn't sure what I was going to do with 90 extra minutes. If you're like a full-time working parent or parent in general, you know that's hard to come by.
Were the kids with you during this 90 minutes that you had?
No, I bring them home.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I could bring them home because everything was canceled. And then I was able to do whatever I wanted because my husband was working from home.
Ultimately, what did you come up with? Was it something amazing?
I do what I always do when I have free time and I don't know what to do. I went to like the Marshalls, TJ Maxx in my town, and I just walked around. I don't know why I find it so therapeutic, but I just walk around TJ Maxx and Marshalls.
My wife does the same thing.
I know. Sean, do you ever get free time? You ever get 90 minutes free time? What are you going to be that you do?
No, but if I did, I think I would dive more into reviewing bad movies. I love doing that. I don't feel like I ever have enough time to do that nowadays. So I would watch a bad movie and try to review it, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay.
All right. Producer John, what is it you're doing if you have 90 free minutes?
Nap. I'm out. I'm gone immediately. That never happens. I mean, think about it. That never happens. And 90 minutes, according to science, it's the perfect time for a good nap. You get a little REM sleep in that nap.
We could debate that because I've read 100 things saying that 20 to 30 minutes is the perfect nap.
Those are the two. It's 20 to 30, and that gives you physical energy, but the 90 minute, that'll get you a little mental boost, too.
Okay. Mm. Oh, look at you, all on top of it.
I'll try and carve out naps myself. I like that. But if I've got 90 minutes right now, what I'm doing, and I've been doing it all week, is I'm assembling flat pack furniture.
Oh.
I have so much furniture in my house right now that it's coming out of a box that's only 2 inches tall and 8 feet long. And the instructions, of course, they don't give you the instructions. It's just a guy with a smiley face on one side and a guy with an unhappy face on the other. It has been a lot, man. But the bed is together now at this point. The nightstands are together. The dresser, everybody relax. All right? I'll get to it when I get to it.
But wait a minute. I know what you were doing last night because Alicia sent me, your wife sent me a video of it.
Mm.
Did you see?
No.
You didn't see?
She tells me nothing.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Have you gone to our Instagram page?
Not until you're saying it now.
How? I thought she told you she was sending me that
this
video.
This is that video? You haven't seen that video?
Mm.
Dude, no. you gotta get it. You gotta open up your phone, man.
All right. The phone only opens so quickly, guys.
Wait a minute. I mean, I had no idea that you didn't know.
Yeah. Okay, so here I'm sewing Baxter's toys.
Yeah, so Raven's wife, Alicia, sent me a video of him sewing dog toys with a whole sewing kit while the dog supervises next to him. I go, I can turn that into a reel and put it up on our Instagram immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what, Baxter? There was 3 holes in his favorite little dinosaur or one of his dinosaurs. He's kind of a toy hoarder. He's got a million of them.
Yeah.
But it needed to be repaired. He was very interested in what I was doing.
Yeah. Well, if you don't follow us yet on Instagram, it's Anna and Raven. You can see the reel for yourself. And also, if Raven has 90 minutes, he's sewing dog toys. That's what he's doing. I don't know. I heard this trending yesterday, and I was like, man, that's a lot of money. If you missed it, this happened.
Justin Bieber just sold his music catalog for an estimated $200 million. He made the deal with an investment company based in the UK. The catalog includes more than 290 Bieber songs. The sale is reportedly the biggest involving an artist from Bieber's generation.
Imagine being like, you know what? I took a lot of trips this year. I spent a lot of money. What can we do to get some quick cash? Oh, I know. I could just sell some songs for $200 million.
I mean, I think you are shallow diving on exactly what this actually means.
No, I
mean, what it means is that they control the licensing to all the music that he's created up until this time, which means that you're going to see Justin Bieber lunchboxes, Justin Bieber push dolls, all this stuff. I mean, frankly, you were seeing a lot of that stuff before, but kind of surprised that the artists are all doing this right now. And I think it's because they feel like this is going to be some of the last great days to monetize all their cash, or else you'd want to hold on to it like Taylor Swift is doing.
Producer John, you actually, you're a musician yourself.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Do you think that because everything is, people are streaming for free and doing things like that, they're figuring this is the way to monopolize?
It's a huge investment. That's exactly what Raven said. And it's not just like companies and other places buying it up. Mm. You know what one of Michael Jackson's most valuable properties was before when he died?
The Beatles, wasn't it?
It was the Beatles' entire catalog. Yeah. He owned it. He owned all of those songs, which is crazy amounts of money.
But I was thinking
crazy. Still paying his estates to this day, a percentage of those, right?
Ah, but I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, if you ever need, back in the day, I shouldn't say back in the day. Over my lifetime, several times.
Last week.
When you needed, I needed extra money. You know, like when you were, you hit a rough patch and you needed extra cash, there's always like that one thing that you can go to sell in your house.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember like, you know, my family is from Italy. My parents are from Italy, all that. So when my aunts and my uncles would come and visit all the time, they would bring us gold, right?
It's the greatest thing ever, right?
Yeah.
It's like she was married to a leprechaun family or something like that. It's insane.
And you just say this like it's a normal thing. It's like, yeah. You know when Nana would come and she would bring you gold? Yeah,
she just bring you gold.
But like back in the day in Italy, gold wasn't expensive. I remember when I got to like high school and college and I realized, wait a minute.
That's not normal.
And then the prices of gold skyrocketed here and I went to go sell it. And I remember being like 22 and needing like beer money to go out in college.
Sold the gold.
And I was like, so I brought like a bunch of the scrap, like the broken bracelets, the broken. And they were like, okay, this is $2,600. I'm like, oh my God. You know?
I'm rich.
Yeah. Blew it in 3 days.
I never have to work again.
Thirsty Thursday. Here we go, everybody. Let's go, girls.
Bad news. I don't have much gold left. Everything I have, I wear. So there's not much left at this point.
That's great.
But if you had to go into your house right now and you had to sell something and you didn't have $200 million of Justin Bieber songs.
Yeah.
Right.
What would be the thing that you could sell and make some cash? John.
I mean, it would have to be my guitar. It breaks my heart to say it. But yeah, the guitar and like all of the gear that I have associated with it, that's got to be an easy $2,000+.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
We talked to our appraiser buddy and he said like, you know, honestly, the guitars is one of the best markups right now that you can get. If you've got an old Stratocaster or something like that or an old Gibson, it's worth thousands every single time. It could be worth up to $250,000.
Well, because it appreciates. It doesn't depreciate. You drive a car off the lot, it loses half its value. You play a guitar for like 20 years, people want to play that guitar.
Let me apologize to the Osbournes right now because I am just waiting for the day that Ozzy drops because I've got a Black Sabbath autographed set.
Dude.
When they came back for the reunion tour, too, and I got everybody, not just Ozzy. I got Geezer Butler. I got Tony Iommi. I got them all on there. Bill Ward.
So wait a minute. The day after Ozzy passes, you're just going to put this up for sale?
Hey, I missed Princess Di. This is my time.
Okay.
The day after Ozzy passes, you're going to be a millionaire.
That afternoon.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? Okay, let's do it. Get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Lynn.
If you bribe your kids' teachers during the parent-teacher conferences, then that's all I need to know about you.
Like what are you bribing them for? Like, how do you bribe them? With cookies? With cash?
I was going to say, there's more ways to do it than just cash. It's a little quid pro quo.
Mm.
Let's say I own a business in town. And you like to frequent my business. Oh, well, don't worry. I can hook you up with a little something extra. You want that landscaping job in front of your house? Well, we can do it maybe at 10% off. How's little Jimmy doing? Is he still misbehaving in the third row? Oh, it doesn't sound like the end of the world to me. Does it to you, Mr. Smith?
I have a parent-teacher conference today, actually.
Oh!
What if I go in there, right, and I just slip them an envelope with a gift card in there, like a Target gift card.
You don't have any cash? I got some cash in here. You need to borrow some cash? How is it doing?
Yeah. Also, it's not a scheduled time of year for this conference, so I'm really curious as to what it's about.
Okay, hold on. Maybe I got a couple 20s in here. I might have a 50, nice and crisp.
No, I think I'm going to need a Benjamin for this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to hit the ATM.
Yep. Becky, that's all I need to know about you.
If you cut in the school drop-off line, that is all I need to know about you. Just like, you know, the rest of us don't matter.
That's awful. I didn't even know you could cut in a school pickup line.
I mean, everybody feels like they have somewhere to be and it's a priority. Everybody is late for something. And if that thing ain't moving along well, I know why you're doing it. But you've got to come back here again tomorrow. Your kid is going to go to school here for years.
Right. And we're just going to see you every day and know that you're the line cutter. And then people are going to talk smack. Like, that's kind of how it works. Right.
If you get away with it one time, you're not going to get away with it again. They're going to punish you for it.
Yep.
They will.
Chris, that's all I need to know about you.
If you think 30 is old, that's all I need to know about you. My teenager told me anything over 30 is considered old. That's
because they're a teenager. Don't you remember being a teenager? I used to remember thinking that I couldn't believe that people would think I was old enough to drink when I was 17. Because 21 was so old.
When you're young, life is infinite, right? Mm. Time isn't, I mean, that's so far off in the distance. When you start passing certain ages, it seems to get shorter and shorter. Brian, that's all I need to know about you.
If the only time I hear from you on my birthday is on Facebook, that's all I need to know about you.
Dad? Dad? Is that you? Wow.
I took my birthday off of Facebook.
Did you?
Yeah, years ago. I don't think I actually ever had it on because I just thought it, maybe just like the first year or something. Because I always felt like it was so fake. Mm. You know, like when people are just like, happy birthday. I don't know. I don't like it.
I feel like maybe I'm reading it wrong. I didn't know I could take it off.
Yeah. You could put not to put your birthday. They don't force you to put your birthday on Facebook.
I feel like they did when I signed up. I do. I feel like they did. They're like, listen, we're really going to need that. Mm. Really going to need that information.
Anna and Raven's pick of news.
Three news stories, but you only hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is. Are you ready for your selection today, Raven?
Lay it on me.
Number one, aggressive wild turkey terrorizing neighborhood.
Oh, man, those turkeys.
Number two, stray kitten rescued during Chiefs game named Sandy Reed.
Next.
Man injured by falling iguana during outdoor yoga class.
Oh, my gosh. Come on. Get tougher, man. I'm going to go with turkey, aggressive turkey.
Okay. In Coon Rapids, Minnesota, a wild turkey has been stalking a mobile home park, but it is far worse than you think.
Okay.
This turkey has literally taken over our life.
Get! Somebody help me! Somebody help me!
You laugh. But when you watch the video, you're like, oh, my gosh, this turkey is crazy.
Yeah.
This turkey attacks me every single day, follows me, goes up my stairs and tries to get in my house, gets on the back of my husband's truck and follows me. It rode to Chipotle with me one time.
I mean, what do turkeys order at Chipotle? I'm just wondering.
You know what? Let me just ask the question here. Does this turkey think he's a pet? I mean, maybe this turkey thinks he's like, Ma! Ma, let me in.
But so super aggressive. I just keep thinking about a turkey, like, pulling up to Chipotle, being like, get me a bowl. Get me a bowl.
Get it for him.
Yeah.
Get it for him.
Pay for the extra avocado, or I'm going to come into your house. But there's some genuine concerns.
The kids that walk to the bus stop every morning, I have to come out and help them. But now they're smart, and they carry sticks.
Wait a minute. The sticks? Wait a minute. The kids are carrying the sticks or the turkeys?
The kids are now carrying
the sticks.
Right, hold on.
I mean, I saw that National Geographic show one time where they had the monkeys that use the rocks to crack the nuts.
Yeah.
Animals are capable of amazing things.
Right. Now, this time it's the kids.
Yeah.
And they carry sticks.
Can you just imagine your child walking to the bus stop armed with a stick?
Every day they have to carry a stick with them.
Yeah. There's this bird has two names. Some people call it Gladys and some people call it Randy because they don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
Check the plumbing.
It's not safe for anybody, including the turkey, you know? So I would just like it to be relocated to a place where it can live with other turkeys and be happier, and it's not going to be a nuisance to people or potentially hurt somebody.
It's nice that she wants to go off and live on a farm or a turkey sanctuary or something.
I was like, I wonder what a turkey sanctuary looks like. I imagine they're like a lot of beds, you know? Like, I don't, what do turkeys do for fun? They play bingo?
They just block the road, typically, when I see them. The wild turkeys, I mean, and you can see a big bunch, and they don't move. To be fair, it's true. Like, they kind of do what they want to do. I'm guessing that this is, like, a male turkey that's, like, I mean, I don't know what their season is where they get a little bit randy, but they do.
My car got surrounded by wild turkeys one time, and it was terrible because I was afraid to drive because I was like, I'm gonna hit one of these things,
right?
And then I was like, you know, but then I also didn't know what to do and I was just stuck in the middle of the road.
You should have put him in the back seat, took him to Chipotle.
That's what I should have done.
Clearly.
She's lonely and I feel bad, but why can't they just relocate this bird, please?
Like, why isn't anybody helping these people with this bird, right? I have no idea. But also, just because we have time right now and I want to take a second, I just want to play the audio of the guy that got injured during the yoga class when the iguana fell out of the tree. I know I'm not supposed to do this. I know I'm not.
I didn't even pick that guy.
I know, but the audio is so funny. I just want to listen to it. So imagine a guy outdoor at a yoga class, right? And he's just under a tree doing his thing. This is the instructor. They were filming the whole class.
From there, we'll simply roll up, lift your hips, and just hold for one, two,
the iguana falling out of the tree. Oh my gosh, we're
listen
laughing.
To everybody. Oh, like it got hit by a truck. It's an iguana. That's great.
Mm-hmm. earlier, we were talking about these turkey attacks that have been going on all around the country. Jim Knox is our animal expert. Jim, when you're being attacked by a turkey, what is your best line of defense?
Okay, Anna, I got to tell you, let's try to avoid this from the start, right? So the best thing to do is be aware of your surroundings. Not normally an animal that we have to worry about. But if a turkey's coming at you, you want to keep it in your line of sight and you back into the nearest building or vehicle.
Hide. That's the answer.
No, but let's say I'm in a corner, yourself. Jim. Let's say this turkey has followed me now to that building, has opened the door, or somebody opened the door by accident or whatever. He hit the handicap button, and all of a sudden the door is open to him now. And now he's coming, and there's nowhere else for me to further back away. I'm in a corner, all right? This turkey's got me in a corner. There's no escape. What can I do?
Okay. Was Anna there to help protect you? I'm just kidding.
You think she would help? You're going to climb the wall.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm gone.
Okay. Right. All right, guys. All kidding aside, you know, turkey's not particularly a dangerous animal, but a persistent animal, and they are capable. You know, they've got relatively long and sharp beaks and the wings that can injure as well. So what you want to do is you want to, you know, keep an implement nearby to keep them at arm's, you know, distance, or keep them at bay. You know, seriously, a broom would do just fine. You don't have to injure the animal at all, but you could keep the animal from advancing on you.
Okay. What if the animal finds me unbelievably attractive?
No, okay. All right.
And, the broom handle isn't going to do it.
I have no answer for you whatsoever, sir, on that one.
All right.
Jim, also that was trending in the news, a man was injured by a falling iguana during an outdoor yoga class. He was under a tree, and it fell out of the tree.
Those now, yogis got to be tougher. Come on. It's a flying iguana.
You know, you always hear about these iguanas. This iguana was 30 pounds. Hit him right in the head.
Well, it's cold. When it gets cold, man, those iguanas be dropping.
How does it work? Like, how does the iguana stuff work where they get paralyzed, right?
Well, a couple of things can be happening there. For one, I'm not familiar with this particular case, but I'll tell you what has happened with iguanas and people in the past. Iguanas, the green iguanas that we're familiar with, that are common in the pet trade, these guys are arboreal. You know, they're really tree dwellers, and they're pretty fast on the ground, but they're really a design for life in the trees. When it gets very cold, as you guys just mentioned there, reptiles are, you know, ectotherms, so their bodies are like thermometers, warm up or cool down based on the temperature around them. When it gets really cold, these iguanas can sometimes chill down, and they lose their dexterity, and they can just, you know, plop off of a branch like that. That's one thing. What iguanas also do is when they're looking to get away from a predator, like a raptor, they can just leap from a high branch into water below. But either way, that's a lot of iguana falling your way. So if you live in iguana country, probably just look up above, make sure you move your chair over a little bit to the left or right.
Are there other animals, Jim, that seem innocent, like they won't try to kill you, but given the opportunity, they'll take your eye out?
Squirrels.
Okay. Squirrels, generally not aggressive. However, what we're seeing with the wild turkeys, what we're seeing with the squirrels, and seeing sometimes even with rabbits and other animals, the animals get acclimated to people feeding them. And what probably happened out in Minnesota with this turkey and other situations, one person is very kind-hearted and they're feeding an animal, and yet that's not a good thing at all because the animal becomes used to people, associate people with food, and then comes to your neighbors, and they can get quite aggressive because they think, hey, human, food, give me food right now. And squirrels and other animals can be persistent. They can bite. They can scratch. That's what we're seeing in a lot of these cases.
Jim Knox, animal expert from the Beardsley Zoo. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks a lot, guys. Great talking to you.
You let that turkey know I'm going to be working on my crane maneuver.
What do you think is the most boring, agonizing sport to watch on TV?
I used to think it was golf, but to tell you the truth, like now that they've got that second league, all these players hate each other so much. It's actually really juicy. I hope that someday they meet up in the parking lot and fight each other, which nearly happened this past weekend.
1-800-330-9999. A lot of people wrote golf on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. That's not my answer because I have really gotten into watching football. Like, I like it. You know, it's been, which I never really watched it before, you know?
I mean, it's America's number one sport, but welcome to the party.
Okay. So I've been watching it with my husband, and you would think, like, that would make him happy and that he would be satisfied with that. But here's the thing. My husband played college football, but when he was in high school, he was a wrestler. The wrestlers that they put
Roman
the ear
Greco.
Things. Yeah, the Roman Greco, the wrestlers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I always found it hilarious, but the first time I ever went to meet his mother and father, his mom put on VHS tapes of him wrestling. because they were so proud that he had done so well.
I think I remember you telling me that now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, and I think that this is the thing with all wrestling families, wrestling like parents and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like they're very big into it.
And like at the time, it was cute, and I was, and you know, he was embarrassed and all that.
His mom put on the tape,
and then like his dad was in the back. Rosalie, take it off. You know? But he never watches it on TV, but now my nephew wrestles in high school, too.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, he's gotten back into it. Now, we're watching the games this past weekend,
sure.
And he keeps flipping back and forth between the game, which I'm into, and the collegiate wrestling.
Oh, nice.
And I am like, babe.
What is happening here, right?
I can't do this. Like, if it's not our nephew in that thing, or you, and I'm giggling because you're wearing this tight little thing and you're 16 years old, like, this is the most boring thing. It's just two guys locked in a circle and just trying to push each other. I don't even know what's happening. It's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Honestly, I used to love UFC, and then the grappling became such a big part of it. I can't even watch that. These guys are bleeding. And you know what I mean? And there's money on the line for that one. So I get what you're saying. I don't want to say too much because I know that wrestling people, they're very passionate. Oh. I mean, there's been movies, there's been like TV shows, everything.
What do you think? All right. Maybe you love watching wrestling, you know, and not the WWE, like, you know, with the other one.
That's different.
Right. What do you think is the most agonizing, boring sport to watch on TV? 1-800-330-9999. Adam.
Okay. It's a newer sport, but I got to say CrossFit. I mean, what's the point? Like, you're good at weightlifting. Cool. Like, I can see professional weightlifters do that. Like, you run around in mud. Cool. Like, what is that really considered a sport?
I have a few friends that they love CrossFit, or at least they did. They got into it super heavy for a couple of years, right? And listen, they got in great shape. They were in great shape. And I did it for a little while, and it was, you know, more entertaining than some other things that I had done. But I got to be honest, it was tough, so I ended up quitting. When you watch those competitions, like, I don't need to see you do burpees for a half hour.
I like when they have to carry the big, the cement balls.
Oh, yeah.
And they cradle it in the corner of their neck.
Yeah.
And they hold it. I see. I actually like watching it.
That's like the strongest man thing, though, right?
I'm
like,
into that. But they do that. And then where you got to throw the ball against the wall. You got to catch it. I don't know. For some reason, I like watching other people do hard things, but I don't want to do it myself anymore.
I guess.
You know how you can tell someone does CrossFit?
How?
Don't worry. They'll tell you.
Right. It's true. It's so true. What do you think is the most agonizing, boring sport to watch on TV? 1-800-330-9999. My husband's been making me watch collegiate wrestling, and it is awful. It's so awful.
You got to be careful what you say, because these wrestling people are very passionate. You are going to get some emails.
Okay, but it's not fun to watch. It's cool if your kid is one of those kids in the circle, but otherwise...
I've also never been to a wrestling match that didn't smell like BO, just to be clear.
Nancy, most agonizing sport to watch.
I expect some pushback from you, and they're really, really cute kids. But if we're really honest, T-ball with 4- and 5-year-olds is agonizing to watch.
Oh, I mean, soccer with 4- and 5-year-olds. Anything with 4- and 5-year-olds is tough because nobody knows what they're doing, and then half of them don't care. And, you know, I mean, that's just in general.
I like when the kids, like, they're just running around. And they don't know what's going on.
Right.
It's like entertainment.
Right. It's more entertaining for the parents at that point. Like, who's going to run into each other? Look at this. Oh, wait. All of a sudden, there's, like, one good kick or one good swing. They're like, oh, that kid's got a future.
When you'd rather be at the beach and you're sitting there on the hot field watching that, no.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, there's no place that I wouldn't rather be at the beach. But thanks for the call, Nancy.
Thanks,
have a good
day. Hey, Lisa. Most agonizing, boring sport to watch.
Curling.
You know what? Curling was on my short list, but it's made so much better with booze. It really is.
Yeah, but not if you're playing it, not if you're watching it.
No. Watching it too. I mean, me and my friends, we get crazy. It's the winter time. You know, it's Winter Olympics. USA, USA, USA. We get lit. It's good.
I actually tried curling when it was the Olympics went on. I went and found a place that did it.
Yeah.
I got down with that broom. I was just scrubbing.
See?
I was scrubbing so hard.
See?
Go. Yeah. I got into it. But I don't want to watch it on TV. I'm with you, Lisa. Nina, what sport is agonizing to watch?
Oh, my gosh. Bowling. Like, there's no point. I mean, you play bowling with your friends. have some drinks. That's fun. That's great. But why on earth would I want to put it on the TV? Like, it's just...
The thing is, too, if you watch professional bowling, they're so good. They like, hardly ever miss. Right. Everything is a strike.
Just makes you feel bad about yourself.
The entire game is, like, strike after strike after strike. And they don't get... I mean, most of them don't even get excited when they do it.
Right.
Whereas, like, you know, when you and your friends go, if one of them hits a strike, everybody cheers. Everybody goes nuts.
It's so exciting when somebody gets a strike.
It's the biggest thing.
But maybe, I can't even remember the last time I saw bowling on TV. Did they just stop?
No. I mean, they bumped it for a dart league or something right now. Cornhole pushed them out of the way right now, but I'm sure we could find it.
I also don't want to watch cornhole on TV.
No. Like,
there's no reason to do that.
Not ever.
No.
Bob, what sport is agonizing to watch?
I get that it's impressive, but weightlifting is just people picking things up and putting them down.
Mm. And they're oily.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really bothers me. I get it. You're really large, and it's something that you've dedicated your time to. You're certainly committed, right? But the two things that bother me the most is, why are you so tan, and why are you so oily?
But is there a difference between weightlifting and, like, the fitness competitions? So the fitness competitions is where they flex on stage and they're all, like, they're, like, way too spray tan.
I mean, I wouldn't call that fitness. I call it bodybuilding.
Well, bodybuilding.
Right.
Yeah.
Fitness is, like, jazzercise. So, I mean, I think it's the same.
You think bodybuilding and weightlifting is the same thing? Isn't weightlifting, like, the big guys that wear, like, the little leotard and then they... And then they drop it down on the floor.
What bodybuilding competition are you watching? They're the same.
Oh, I think I'm thinking about the women that just, like, they have those little tiny bikinis on and they just flex. They're just flexing.
What do you think happens in the other parts of the competition?
Oh, I thought it was just that.
No.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know it was the same sport.
It's like a pageant. They did, you know, they do a couple things.
Oh.
You know?
Are you sure?
Yes.
I'm not sure about that. With the cost of eggs skyrocketing, a lot of people have decided, hey, maybe I can raise my own chickens. Carol Clement owns and operates Heather Ridge Farm. You ever wanted to own a chicken? It's Anna and Raven.
Carol, everybody all of a sudden now has decided that they want to be a chicken farmer. Is this sustainable? Are they able to handle these chickens?
I think most people will do fine with chickens. It is crazy. We're getting calls all the time asking if we sell live chicks or live birds that are already laying, and it's a real thing. People really are doing it. I think people want to secure their own food. You have to remember that the word bird brain came from something real. They're pretty stupid.
Oh, wow.
So you really have to have a nice, secure place for them, provide for their need. Once you've got a good place and that they're secure, you'll do fine.
I saw this morning. Somebody had posted a video of the chickens got out from the coop and they were in the front yard in the driveway. She yelled at the chickens through her Ring camera on the front of the house, and all the chickens ran to the back of the backyard again.
Are they smart enough to do that, Carol?
You can train any animal if food is involved. Absolutely.
So if somebody wanted to start their own chicken coop and they wanted to get a few chickens, like, what are the necessity things that they need to get going?
Okay, now I'm presuming it's laying hens is what you're talking about. Most people want birds that are going to give them eggs.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're just lay people. We don't know the
terms.
We know that there's a boy one and a girl one, but that's it.
You don't need the boy ones. Unless you are planning to breed chickens, you don't need a boy around. And the boys are kind of a pain in the neck because sometimes they can be very aggressive. So let's say you're going to have five birds. You want to have a coop that they can be locked in at night with 3 or 4 square foot per bird, so they have room to move around. You need some nest boxes where they're going to lay their eggs. If you had 5 birds, you'd want maybe 3 nest boxes because they will share and they don't all lay at the same time. You need some kind of water and food thing that you can also have inside this coop. For their own security, you need to lock them in at night. There's all kinds of predators that will go after chickens. Everything from weasels to foxes to your neighbor's dogs. Owls love chickens.
Huh.
Wow.
So now during the day, you want to let them out. You want them to be out on the ground and scratching around looking for worms and bugs and dandelion greens and all that kind of stuff. They will automatically go back in the coop to lay their eggs. They will automatically go back in at night.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
But you do have to lock the door.
But I hear they just line right up and they march right in.
They do. They have this great nesting instinct. They want to be back in there at night, but you got to close the door.
How many eggs does a typical hen lay one time?
Like per day, right? So you got to decide how many dozens you need, Anna.
Right.
They usually lay one egg a day. Now, they respond to the amount of sunlight. November, December, when the days are really short, they stop laying.
Oh, no. So this is fascinating.
Do they turn into a hensicle? What do we do? Do we heat that coop at the in the fall and
yeah,
the winter time?
Yeah, do they get
time?
Cold?
No, they have good fluffy feathers. As long as they're dry and out of the wind, they're plenty warm. You don't need to heat the coop.
I'm on your website, heatherridgefarm.com, and you sell all these chicken boxes, and everything seems to be sold out. So clearly there's a need for this.
There is. A month ago, with the supermarket started having all the runs on them, and you know, everybody was going in and buying everything. They ran out of chicken immediately, and all these people that didn't normally shop here came here.
Do you have any chickens that lay steaks? Do you have any chickens that lay steaks? No? Okay. Well,
I wish.
Do you have any chickens that you like more than the others? Like, they're your best friend chickens, or are they all kind of the same?
Right.
Yeah,
like a house chicken?
There's always a couple that, yeah, there's always a couple.
What's your best friend chicken's name?
Lucky.
Oh, that's nice. Is he handsome? Is he handsome?
It's a girl.
She.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I can't keep it straight.
Like all guys, as we were talking about earlier, the aggressive, not paying much attention, and really doesn't need to be part of the conversation.
Anna and Raven's hell of a story.
Do you have a hell of a story? A story so awesome that whenever you tell it, people are like, I can't believe that happened to you. Well, here's your chance to share it. You can head to annaonraven.com. Lindsay, you have a hell of a story.
I sure do.
So what happened?
One morning I woke up and I go in the bathroom and all my mom's stuff is gone, missing completely. And I'm looking around and literally all her stuff is gone. So I wake up my dad and I'm like, Dad, I was like, where's all mom's stuff? And he gets up and he looks around. He looks in her closet. Everything's gone. We call her work and she never showed up to work. No one ever heard anything. So we're like, oh my God, like what happened? So we're driving around, like trying to just see, like maybe if she went to a hotel or something weird. Like this was completely unexpected and out of the ordinary. We're getting worried and I'm calling her and she's not answering her phone. You know, we're still freaking out. Family members haven't heard anything from her. It's like she just completely disappeared. 5 hours later, she called me and she's like, oh, hey, Linz, what's up? How's it going? And I'm like, it's not going too great. I'm like, you know, where are you? And she was like, oh, I'm just not ready to tell you where I am yet, but I'm never coming back to Connecticut. I was like, what do you mean you're never coming? I'm like, where are you? And she's like, I'm driving right now. I'm with a friend, but I'll tell you more in a little bit. And I'm just like, I'm completely shocked. And I'm just like, I don't know. I was like, did you tell anyone? I mean, I'm like, no one knows what's going on. And she's like, yeah, don't worry. You'll find out more as time comes. So that was it.
I don't know. We have so many questions before you even go any further from there. How old were you when this happened?
Right.
So I was 20.
And you're living at home. When was this? Like, so you were 20. Is this 5 years ago? Is this 10 years
right.
ago? Is this?
So this was in March 2021.
Oh, my gosh. So this like
year.
Just happened here. I have to ask,
right.
not knowing really the end of this story yet at this point, but assuming some things, did your parents have issues? Did they fight a lot? Did you have any idea that something like this could be coming?
Was it out of character for your mom to just disappear like that?
It was absolutely out of character. This was completely out of the blue.
So where was she going and what happened next? What did you find out?
She's like, I'm with a friend and I talked to her later. And I said, this friend's a guy. I'm like, obviously, like put two and two together. And she's like, yes, it is a guy. And I'm like, okay, you're leaving with a guy and you're moving in. And when she got to her destination, she finally told me that they had gone to Ohio. So he lives in Ohio and he flew from Ohio to New York. She drove to New York and picked him up. And then he drove the both of them back to his house in Ohio.
So this is just an affair where she decides that I'm no longer going to be in this marriage that I'm in. I'm leaving
right.
with this guy.
Right. And so turns out she had been talking to him online for 7 years.
Oh my gosh.
Which was insanely, like, just crazy to think about. And fun little plot twist, he's a senior citizen. He's well into his late 60s. And at the time when she left, she had just turned 50. So that was even, like, crazier.
I mean, you have no idea where they met or whatever. I'm assuming basically online. And you know, what is your status with your mother now?
So
I don't talk to her anymore because every time I would talk to her, it would turn into, well, you're part of the reason I left. She would basically try and dish all of, you know, her reasoning for leaving on other people, I'm assuming to try and make herself feel better because she knows what she did was wrong. We live with her mother, my father and I, we live downstairs from her mom. We live in a two-family house and we live downstairs and we moved in to help her after my grandfather had passed away. She was in this big house and we moved in to help her. And my grandmother has not heard one word from my mom since she left.
It's like so crazy.
Escape all the burden, right?
Oh my God.
Caretaker right. type situation, right? I mean, I can only imagine. Yeah.
Do you know if she's, did she meet him before this? Like, did she actually meet the guy online face to face or was this the first time meeting him?
This was the first time she had met him face to face.
Wow.
This is where it gets even crazier. I said, hey, mom, I said, you know, I've never seen what this dude looks like. And I was like, can you send me a picture of you guys? So she sends me a picture of them and she's in this like black tight dress and he's in like a suit and tie. And they were like wearing all black. And I said, oh, I was like, did you guys like go to a funeral or something? And she was like, no, I'm not ready to tell you. And I was like, what, do you guys like get married or something? She was like, we went to a collaring ceremony. And yeah, she was right. I definitely didn't understand.
I don't understand. I don't understand. A collaring? What is that?
Basically, and it kind of all made sense at that point. She was really into like that 50 Shades of Grey stuff, like really into that stuff.
Oh, wow.
So she's kind of in a club, if you will, down there with other people. And I said, okay. I said, after I looked it up, I said, so, you know, who wears this collar that you're talking about? And she was like, friends wear the collar. So basically she's the submissive in this club that she is now in. Yeah, that was really,
I believe the
something.
Term is the mistress of the club. Right, right.
So, yeah.
Right, when you're the dominatrix like type and you've got the yep. subs and so forth. Okay.
Right. Oh my gosh. And all throughout your life, like when you were a little girl, all that, never anything like this would possibly give you an inkling that your mom would do something like this.
Never. One thing that I did always find really weird was like, she would sit in a parking lot down the street every day for about an hour and a half after work. She would get a coffee and she would sit in that parking lot. And I asked her, I was like, why do you do that? And she was like, oh, just because, you know, it's quiet time. And like, you know, when I come home, it's kind of noisy. And I'm like, I'm the only child and we have cats. So I was like, I don't know where this noisy speak of is coming from. But she was probably talking to this guy for, you know, hours after work.
There wasn't a latex dress that you saw or something like that. It was
no.
Yeah. None of those type of behaviors beforehand.
And how about your dad? How is he doing?
He's good. I mean, it definitely took a while just to, I mean, get over the shock factor because they were high school sweethearts. He was planning like their 25th year anniversary, you know, little shebang, whatever. It definitely was a big, big shock.
Lindsay, we've heard a lot of hell of a stories, but that is a hell of a story.
For sure.
Yeah.
It is, for sure.
Yeah, let me just ask you for my own sake of argument. What do you do if she shows back up on your door?
Turn the lights off.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Zach and Caitlin. Caitlin, let's start with you. What's going on?
So, Zach, I mean, he had this great corporate job and then, you know, COVID came around and he decided he wanted to open up this sports apparel store, which is great. I support that and all. But, you know, it's been a long time and we're making absolutely no money. I'm working my butt off over here in my corporate job. And I don't understand how it's worth it because it's not helping us and we need money.
So you want Zach basically to leave his job. Zach, what's your side of this?
Listen, I get it. You know, there was a fair bit of safety when I had a boring, unfulfilling corporate job. But it's only been 2 years, coming up on 3 years. And, you know, while we're not making the same kind of income, I feel like we really haven't given it the chance that it deserves to see how big this can get.
It's a tough one. Is it profitable at all, your business? It's like a brick and mortar store. That's what you're doing? Do you have an online presence? Well, explain to me what this is.
Our online presence consists of ordering from the store. So you have to go and pick it up. But yeah, we're still one location and we have a small but loyal customer base. I just feel like we can only go up. We only have room to improve.
But the small customer base isn't making your ends meet.
Not yet, but that's, I mean, what business is a boom right away?
I mean, that's true.
I mean, I guess that's true, but I mean, how long do you give it to when you're talking, you know, 3 years, and then you're carrying inventory, and that inventory, as you bring in more inventory, costs you more money. I can see how that would be frustrating for you, Caitlin. So you're not interested in going just to an online thing, basically, like this is the way that you want to run the business, brick and mortar. You've got one store, so it's all or nothing, essentially, this conversation.
I mean, I've crunched the numbers, and while there are pros and cons to it, just, you know, inflation and the margins that we get from doing only online, and you know, we have no community if it's online, right? Like, I want a place people can go to. We're so disconnected these days. I want something in person.
Right, but it's also not fair to Caitlin, where she has to go to work every day at, you know, her death corporate job. And she has to have that steady income come in for you to chase your dreams. I mean, at what point do you say this isn't fair to my marriage, my family?
I mean, we've called.
I'm working on it over here.
Dreams. Hi, Anna. Mm-hmm. Wow. They are expensive and they cause lots of problems. And they've broken up plenty of relationships before.
Why don't we see what the audience has to say? Because they may agree with you, Caitlin. At some point, you have to give up on your dreams. You did it. You went for it. And maybe, Zach, this isn't the time for it. And let's be honest, these retail stores aren't doing well, even the ones that are financed by major corporations.
Hmm.
They may see your side too, though, Zach. This is something that will eventually create a cult following. I know, like, the sports memorabilia and jerseys and sneakers and all that stuff, it definitely has a following. You just need some more time. So maybe a couple more years isn't such a big deal. And Caitlin, that's what marriage is about, compromise.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It just makes her seem like the bad guy, but sometimes you got to give up on the dream, right? Or maybe not. Caitlin and Zach have been having a disagreement because Zach decided a couple years ago that he was going to give up his corporate job to follow his dreams. He wanted to open up a sports retail store. He sells jerseys, sneakers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the problem is that he's not making any money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now we're going into what's going to be the third year at this thing right now. And Caitlin is killing herself going to work every day. Listen, you know, you have a responsibility, and I don't want to sound as if this is somewhat sexist, but, you know, as a man, you're raised to think that you're going to be a provider. That's simply the way it was in the generations that came before, at least in my lifetime anyways. And at some certain point, especially when you have people that are relying on you, not just your partner, but anybody who's going to show up after, your children, whatever it may be, you have to be that provider. There is a nobility in any job that you work. I don't care if you're working fast food or whatever. The nobility is you're going to work because it is what is necessary, not just because it makes you happy.
And Zach says, you know, he just needs more time, though. It's only been 2 years. We came out of a pandemic. Like, I just need to get myself more grounded.
Two years is a long time if you're the one paying for somebody else.
Yep. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. John, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. 3 years later, he wants a place to hang out. Sorry. If it was profitable and it's going up a little bit each year, maybe you could have the argument you got to play it out. But you're in 3 years and it's not profitable at all, that's not a short amount of time to be in business.
Yeah, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse, most likely.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Zach and Caitlin. Yeah, Caitlin's been working really hard because a couple years ago, Zach decided to quit his corporate job, follow his dreams, open a sports apparel shop, sells jerseys, sneakers, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not making any money. They have to put in money every single month to make ends meet. Caitlin says, that's enough of chasing the dreams. You need to go back to corporate America. We need more money to supplement our income.
Well, that's just reality, right? I mean, we have bills to pay and nothing is getting cheaper. It's only going to get more expensive now and in the future. It's tough when you feel like you're on the cusp of something. On the other hand, you can gamble the rest of your life. That's why gambling's so much fun. Right.
What do you think? Should he give up on the dream? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm totally on the female side. This dude's living a dream that's like a nightmare. All he's doing is dishing out money, and she's the one that's bringing it in.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all of this, and I feel hypocritical for believing for all this because, remember, in radio,
right,
where I started, was really bad.
But the difference being, and listen, I was going to say the same thing before, is that radio is kind of one of those dream things,
yes.
right? And when I got in, I didn't make a lot of money for a long time. But you know what I did? Started a side business. And I had no obligations. I had no responsibilities. I wasn't married at the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a kid or anything like that to worry about. Once you have those things, you have to change your plan.
I would say my husband had to carry us and carry our family for at least 7 or 8 years before it made sense for what I do.
Luckily, he was in the position to do so. If he was not,
it would have been a different story.
Completely different story.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on her side. There's no way this guy is going to be able to run a successful business. I'm sorry, this is not a if you build it, they will come economy. And he doesn't seem to have the mindset of what he needs to do to attract new customers. And I totally feel for her, keeping the lights on. They have to come to terms as a couple and agree that this is just not the right time for him to be following, a dream without a smart business plan.
Hey, Flavia, whose side are you on?
We are on the husband's side. We have the same example at home. My husband, he had a stable job and he just decided that he wants to have his own business over COVID as well. And I think he's not doing great, but he's not that bad. So we believe that, things get worse before it gets better.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Caitlin, our audience agreed with you. Zach, what you're doing is following your dreams, but you're doing it at the expense of your marriage, and that's not cool. Asking her to stand by your side and do this at the beginning is one thing, but realizing that maybe you need to reevaluate your choices and do something that's contributing to your family is another. And people agreed with Caitlin. It's time to let it go.
I mean, I've never wanted that. That's not worth it to me. If this really has come between us, then the answer's clear enough to me.
I mean, at the very least, Zach, I think you need to reevaluate your business model. Unfortunately, nowadays when somebody goes to buy something, the rare number is going to a store, but everybody else is just going online.
It's true.
And I'm a sports fan myself. And the first thing I would do if I walked into a store and saw something that I liked is check the price versus something online. It's just how it would work.
It's sad. It's sad for the local mom and pop shops to keep up. But Caitlin, you have to be happy to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's been 2 years. I've tried my best to be patient, but I understand following your dreams. But at the same time, when you have people around you that are really working hard like me and, we have a family, it's just tough to keep on waiting and keep waiting. And I don't know. I just think that's the best option to go back.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $500 thanks to HelloFresh. Looking to save time and money in the new year? Get HelloFresh and take control of the clock and your budget with delicious recipes delivered. Get 22 free meals plus free shipping with code ANNA22 at HelloFresh.com/ANNA22. Hey, Jennifer, you ready to play today?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, you got it, Jen. Good luck.
All right. Okay, so, Jen, Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back in. He gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Okay, number one. Madonna's biopic starring Julia Garner has been canceled following the announcement of her world tour. What's the name of her upcoming world tour?
Not a clue.
Number two, Justin Bieber sold his music catalog for $200 million. On which video platform was he first discovered?
YouTube.
Number three, Chris Stapleton will be singing the national anthem at this year's Big Game, and Babyface will sing America the Beautiful. This is Big Game number LVII. What number is that?
57.
Number four, Diane Keaton, one of the queens of rom-com movies, says she hasn't dated in over 15 years. In the 2003 hit, Something's Gotta Give, what actor played Diane Keaton's love interest?
Not a clue.
And number five, according to Science, Reggae John Page is the most handsome man in the world. He broke out after starring in what period drama on Netflix?
What period drama?
Yep.
Oh, fudge.
That's time. Let me bring Raven back in. Okay.
I bombed that.
Yo.
Well, not bombed, but 2 out of 5 for Jennifer.
Not great. Let's see how I do. $500
This week's been tough. All right, number one, Madonna's biopic starring Julia Garner has been canceled following the announcement of her world tour.
I think that's probably a good usage of her time.
Yeah. What's the name of her upcoming tour?
Celebration Tour.
The Celebration Tour, yep. Number two, Justin Bieber sold his music catalog for $200 million. On which video platform was he first discovered?
YouTube. Baby, baby, baby.
That's right. Number three, Chris Stapleton will be singing the national anthem at this year's Big Game, and Babyface will sing America the Beautiful. This is Big Game number LVII. What number is that?
LVII. It's got to be 57, right?
Yep. Number four, Diane Keaton, one of the queens of rom-com movies, says she hasn't been on a date in over 15 years.
She still got it. Diane, call me.
For what? You're a married man. What is Diane Keaton, 77 years old, going to call you for? To do what?
Well, maybe just DM me.
Yeah, okay. In the 2003 hit, Something's Gotta Give, what actor played Diane Keaton's love interest?
She was so hot in that. Jack Nicholson, right?
Yep. Number five, according to Science, Reggae John Page is the most handsome man in the world. He broke out after starring in what period drama on Netflix?
Wasn't he in Bridgerton, right?
Yes.
I didn't watch the show, but he is a very handsome man. I can see
it. Yeah. I'm sorry. He beat you 5-2 today, Jennifer. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
So excited for that t-shirt. This is Jennifer, and I cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time, Jen. Enjoy that shirt. $600 tomorrow, Anna.